In the Kiev snow, Shakhtar stunned Real Madrid again.
Just outside the area, plenty of options, goes alone and scores! What an introduction by Manos Solomon, and he may well have put this game to bed.
At Anfield, young Curtis Jones was the hero as he sent Liverpool through against Ajax.
Williams, who's crossing left-footed, really good one. Oh, mistake by the goalkeeper, Andre Onana, and it's Curtis Jones who pounces on it.
Whilst champions Bayern scored late to hold Atletico.
And Muller takes it and he scores. He's so assured. Atletico Madrid had thought they were getting out of this group tonight, but now they have more work to do.
Porto also progressed on a night of thrills and spills in the UEFA Champions League. We'll react to all of the night's action as the last 16 continues to take shape. Welcome along with myself, Chris Parrott. We're going to look back on a brilliant start to match day 5 in this season's group stage. Liverpool and Porto into the first knockout round, joining Bayern, Manchester City, Chelsea, Sevilla, Barcelona and Juventus, who secured their last 16 spots last week. I'm joined by commentators Jackie Oatley and Stephen Wyeth, and also the European football journalist Kevin Hatchard. We knew it was going to be dramatic. It was. Late goals, drama, stunning strikes, and also we have match day 6 in this half of the draw set up magnificently.
Yeah, it's what the UEFA Champions League is all about, Chris. We've seen incredible skills, stunning goals, brilliant goalkeeping, some shock selections, shock scorelines. And as you say, the way some of these groups are going to play out, it's going to be a roller coaster all the way. It's been fabulous entertainment once again.
Yeah, we'll go through all of the sections one by one. As I mentioned, joined by Jackie Oatley and Stephen Wyeth. It is tradition on the show to have a three-word match report. I'm going to start with you, Jackie, who was watching Atletico against Bayern. What would your short match report be?
Wow, Joao, ow. Joao Felix, absolutely outstanding for Atletico Madrid. What a player. But a late penalty denying him and Atletico Madrid victory. Hence the ow.
I almost wanted to make you repeat that. I love the rhyming. He was outstanding, one of the nominees for UEFA Fans Team of the Year for 2020. Go and vote for him if you love him as much as Jackie Oatley does. It was a very impressive performance from him, but not quite enough for Atletico, as we'll get onto in a moment. Stephen Wyeth was watching Liverpool against Ajax.
Kelleher's calming contribution, because the young Liverpool goalkeeper, 22-year-old Kevin Kelleher, made a couple of exceptional saves in this match to help Liverpool win it 1-0 over Ajax. Yes, Curtis Jones scored the goal at the other end, but for their Champions League debutant goalkeeper, Liverpool may well have lost tonight, because the save he made to deny a Klaas-Jan Huntelaar at 1-0 was particularly significant. But he also did brilliantly to turn an effort from Gravenberch aside that David Neres followed up to hit the post, and he denied Mazraoui in the first half. He was very probably the man of the match tonight.
Not quite alliteration, that, given that his name starts with a K, but a very, very impressive performance on his Champions League bout. More on Liverpool Ajax later, but we're going to start with one of the early kickoffs in Ukraine, where Shakhtar took on Real Madrid.
Kovalenko just outside the area, tried to play it straight to Marlos. Real Madrid have not dealt with it, and Dentinho has popped up to punish them. 11 minutes into the second half, and Shakhtar Donetsk take the lead, and it's their substitute, who only came on for the injured Junior Moraes, who has struck the opening goal. Manos Solomon down the left side, just outside the area, plenty of options, goes alone and scores. What an introduction by Manos Solomon. He scored in the reverse fixture and he scored again, and he may well have put this game to bed. 8 minutes left, Shakhtar 2, Real Madrid 0.
So Shakhtar do the double over the 13-time winners. Luis Castro, their coach, afterwards said his players were simply fantastic. And it's very difficult, Kevin Hatchard, to argue with that summary. What a brilliant performance. Different performance in the second half, having held Real Madrid and soaked up pressure in the first. A memorable night in Kiev.
And what they've done, Chris, is they've been able to pick themselves back up after being humiliated over two games against Borussia Mönchengladbach. I don't think that's unfair to say. I think they'd admit that themselves, that they were so far below the level they expected themselves in those two games. And they got back to what they did so well against Real in that victory in Spain, which was being proactive, especially in the second half, trusting in their ability to go forward and create chances, but also being solid at the back. And you look at the first goal, whereas Real Madrid lose concentration and aren't sharp, Shakhtar absolutely are, and Dentinho takes the goal exceptionally well. Manor Solomon's goal is outrageously good, because it's a driving run, but then to find that finish under extreme pressure, so, so impressive. And I think we forget sometimes that Shakhtar have genuine quality with some of the young players they have, but also a huge amount of experience. Guys like Marlos, guys like Junior Moraes, they have a lot of experience in there, and that was brought to bear because they were able to take a bit more control of that second half. And did Real really manage to lay much of a glove on them in the second half? Not really.
No.
And it's a big concern, I think, for Zinedine Zidane, because they cannot string two good performances together at the moment.
Yeah, Dentinho was only on the pitch because Junior Moraes had been forced off through an injury in the first half when Raphael Varane picked up a yellow card. Zidane was talking about that word consistency before the match and saying that they just haven't got it at the moment. She asked about his future after the match and said he is not going to resign and he's going to keep going. He said, after that, I'm an optimist. This is a complicated moment, but we have to draw on our character and pride. They could have gone through Real Madrid if they had have beaten Shakhtar, but now this section is absolutely anybody's, Kevin Hatchard.
And it comes down to, can they come through what is effectively a knockout game? Can they manage to pick themselves up and draw on all of that experience that they have? I do think one of the key differences was the absence of Eden Hazard, because he was so good last week against Inter. Hazard played really, really well.
Yeah.
But again, an injury problem for him. And when they have him in the team, they do just have that threat and that composure. Marco Asensio, I thought, played well, had some decent moments. But he has to affect the game more on a more consistent basis. So there are a lot of question marks, a lot of ifs, buts and maybes around Real Madrid this season. That hasn't necessarily been the case for them in the UEFA Champions League in other campaigns. So it's a big test for everyone associated with that football club right now.
Because they've never not made it through the group stage, which is an astonishing record. Okay, elsewhere in Group B, one of the matches of the night, Borussia Mönchengladbach 2, Inter 3, that tells half the story. Gladbach would have gone through if they had beaten Inter, and they fell behind to a Matteo Darmian strike, a very rare goal, his first ever in the Champions League, great finish, but then Alisson Player equalised with an equally unerring shot. Then Romelu Lukaku came up with two more goals. He really can't stop scoring. Alisson Player then got another back with 14 minutes left, and then he thought he had his hat-trick. Right at the end of the game, it would have been his second treble in this season's group stage, Kevin Hatchard, but it was ruled out after a VAR check.
Yes, because Marcus Thuram was in front of Handanovic. That was the ruling that was made after that VAR check. I think it's the right decision. I think he's close enough to Handanovic to affect what he's doing, and he was offside, and therefore it's about, is he interfering or not?
Yeah.
And I think he is. Inter are really interesting to me in this competition, because I thought they were poor last week against Real Madrid, and again, I don't think that's something they can escape from. I think they've admitted that themselves, that they were below the level they would expect. The big problem for them has been defensive, but what we've always known about them under Conte, and what we certainly knew in the UEFA Europa League at the back end of last season, is that they have firepower. And that even if it's not going well, even if they're giving up goals they shouldn't be, they can get themselves out of tight spots because they have Lukaku, they have Lautaro Martinez, they have that ability to open up defences. Lukaku, again, supremely gifted, so strong. His touch has improved, his confidence is there, he's finishing the first goal he scores is so good because he holds off Zakaria, which takes some doing because he is strong. He holds him off and then says, I'm going to trust my right foot. It's not my favourite foot, but I'm going to trust it. And he finds that bottom corner. Such a good goal, and it sums up how far he's come under Antonio Conte.
And his confidence, I think, to even take the effort on his right and score. OK, Group B, with one match to play, is like this. What a section. Four big clubs, four storied clubs, and all four can make it through. Next week, Gladbach, 8 points, still lead the way. Then comes Shakhtar on 7 points, Real Madrid on 7 points, behind Shakhtar on the head-to-head, and Inter have 5 points. And these are the matches next week, next Wednesday at San Siro, Inter against Shakhtar, and in Madrid, Real Madrid against Borussia Mönchengladbach. I'm not going to ask you who goes through, Kevin Hatchard, because I think it's frankly an impossible question.
But wouldn't it be absurd in a way if after all of this,
yes,
Real Madrid and Inter both go through, the two teams that we expected to make it through, after all the shocks, all the twists and the turns, if they both make it through. And in a strange way, I look at the journey that Gladbach have been on, and I just wonder how much damage this will do. Because they've been the front runners. They've had those games against Real, against Inter. They should have won them.
Yep.
And they just conceded those equalisers late. They stuffed Shakhtar twice. They were in a good position ahead of tonight's game, and it's got away from them. This is a huge test for Marco Rosa and what is an inexperienced side at this level.
Certainly is. So Group B is incredibly tasty ahead of match day six. And so is Group D, where Liverpool hosted Ajax at Anfield.
Mo Salah back, oh, off the frame of the goal. What an effort that was from Curtis Jones, curling it right-footed and looked for all the world like he was going to curl it inside the post. Gravenberch with the shot, Kelleher with the save. David Neres hits the outside of the post with the rebound, and Ajax are pushing and pushing for the opening goal, and that is as close as they've come to getting it. Williams, who's crossing left-footed, really good one. Oh, mistake by the goalkeeper, Andre Onana, and it's Curtis Jones who pounces on it, left by the goalkeeper, and Jones appeared beyond him to tap the ball into the back of an empty net, and it's Liverpool 1 Ajax 0. Anthony's cross, shot, oh, brilliant save from Kelleher to deny class Jan Huntelaar. Wonderful reactions again from the young Irishman on his Champions League debut.
So 19-year-old Curtis Jones was the hero. He was assisted for that goal by Neco Williams. And it's the first time two teenagers have combined for a goal in the Champions League for Liverpool, which, given how many matches that club has played in the competition, is impressive. We can hear from Jones now, who was understandably delighted.
Yeah, it was a great night. I'm happy to have got my first goal, but I'm just more proud of the boys and the team performance, really. I thought that day was a great team. They had great players, but I thought the boys dug deep, and I'm happy to come away with a win and to top the group. We look forward to the game that's next.
Liverpool only needed a point, but they are through, Stephen Wyeth, and they have wrapped up the section. And we heard in your commentary, not just Jones, but the goalkeeper excelling as well. It's been a difficult period injury-wise, but I guess without those, we might not have seen these emerging talents come through.
No, quite right. Curtis Jones, by the way, the first player with all the letters from the word Scouser, the colloquial term for people from Liverpool, to score a goal for Liverpool in the Champions League. How's that for a piece of useless information?
Where have you found that from?
I can't reveal my sources. No good journalist reveals their sources to you, Chris. But no, you're right, I didn't come up with it myself. I haven't had the time to delve into the history books for that one. Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it, how this can happen in amongst a nightmare injury list that Alisson was added to ahead of the game this evening. Saved really by Liverpool as a precaution due to a concern over a thigh injury. That gave an opportunity to Kevin Kelleher, and he played as big a part in the game as Curtis Jones in terms of winning it for Liverpool, because he was not just the saves that he made, but the cool and calm assuredness of his command of the penalty area, which made life very, very difficult for Ajax as they pushed first for the opening goal, and then after they fell behind, an equalising goal. goal. It's a really important result for Liverpool in terms of making sure that they can rest players, which I'm sure they will now do for match day six, but also in terms of who's going to join them in progressing from Group D, because Ajax have slipped behind Atalanta in the race for second, and it is advantage to the Italians going into the meeting in Amsterdam between them next week.
If you look at Liverpool's midfield tonight, you look at Jordan Henderson, Gini Wijnaldum and Curtis Jones. Obviously, Wijnaldum and Henderson have immense experience, have played ever so well as Liverpool lifted their first Premier League title for 30 years. But I thought Jones was head and shoulders above the pair of them in this game. I thought he was excellent. I thought he was busy, always trying to gamble, always trying to get into the box, make that extra man. He hit the post in the first half. And he's alive to the possibilities. He sees Nico Williams as cutting on the left, so he makes that far post run. And I think Andre Onana, initially when I first saw it, I thought Onana left the ball. I thought that he believed that ball was sailing out. I actually think he just gets stuck underneath it. I think it's just a basic misjudgment of flight of the ball. Yeah, I thought
initially... Do you not think he's just thinking it's caught, it's going out for a goal kick?
I think he takes a couple of steps forward and he realises he's stuck underneath it. I think he just misjudges the flight horribly. He may well say differently in the fullness of time, but that was what I felt having looked at it a few times. I think if you look at Ajax over these two games against Liverpool, there's a lot of regrets piled up there.
Yeah.
Because I don't think they were quite aggressive enough in Amsterdam. I think Liverpool were there to be attacked and it didn't quite happen for Ajax. In this game, you look at the chances in the second half alone. Davy Klaassen, who I thought was in general very, very good, has a near post header wide that he should do better with. David Neres, after a rebound, hits the post. He should score. And then Klaas-Jan Huntelaar, having made a classic Huntelaar run, gets in between defenders, free header. Kelleher should not be able to get anywhere near that. A striker of his experience, of his talent, should put that in one of the corners. And then it's a totally different game. I felt Ajax probably deserved something out of the game. With Liverpool right now, their level has been so high for so long. This feels like a game they survived rather than a game they won.
It does, and their captain was vital to that. We can hear now from Jordan Henderson.
We managed the game a little bit better second half. First half, like you see, it was a little bit end-to-end. But, yeah, second half, we managed the game a lot better. And like I said, probably could have scored a few more. But, yeah, we've got to take the 3 points, qualify, which is big for us, and now get ready for the weekend. We know the injury problem we've got of late, but I really feel like the togetherness is big in this dressing room, you know, and this stuff like this makes us stronger. And again, showed great character tonight to dig out a 3-point win to qualify for the next round, which is important for us.
A bit like you there, Kev. He said the phrase, dig out. And
yeah.
Will that be something we've seen ever since Jurgen Klopp took over, this, you know, free-scoring Liverpool team who blow teams away, but actually they probably weren't at their best, but they've beaten a very vibrant Ajax team and, with a game to spare, done and dusted through as the section winners.
And that's terrific for them because they can now rotate ahead of that trip to Denmark. I think they haven't been at their sparkling best, but actually, Chris, we've seen this in the UEFA Champions League before, because we've actually seen Liverpool, when they're playing really well and winning games for fun in the Premier League, take it to the last day of the group stage time and time again.
The last two times they've won it, right?
Yeah, so this is strangely sedate for them to get to this stage and already be through. He will know Jurgen Klopp, there's still a lot to do, but I thought Fabinho stepped into that defensive role really, really well, so strong. As a one-on-one defender, you'll struggle to find many who are better than him. It's just positionally sometimes he comes up a bit short. Thought Nico Williams, after a shaky start, settled into the game, made the goal. Generally, they're not quite there, but they're doing enough.
They certainly are. We can hear from Jurgen Klopp's opposite number now, a disappointed Erik ten Hag.
Yeah, I thought it were two teams, they were in balance tonight. And then details made the decision of the game. And was unlucky, we were not a winner. When you played a top team like Liverpool is, and you can compete with them, and they can see the improvement of our team and the development. And yeah, we are happy with that. And we take it with us to the rest of the season. Now we go to the league. We will bury this game, go to the league, and then we will see next Wednesday, and we know what we have to do. Only winning, that's what counts.
He is talking about a match day six showdown in Amsterdam against Atalanta, who drew 1-1 with Midtjylland. They might be a bit disappointed. They fell behind to the debutants, Alexander Schultz, lashing home after good work from Sori Kaba, who then hit the bar with a lovely flick. But they equalised with 11 minutes to go, a thunderous header from Christian Romero, and that was the way it stayed. 1-1, Midtjylland's first ever point in the Champions League, so congratulations to them. And this is how Group D looks. Kevin Hatchard, with one game to play. Liverpool are through. Behind them, though, Ajax and Midtjylland have the same amount of points on 7. Ajax and Atalanta have the same amount
Midtjylland
of points.
Midtjylland fans are getting excited.
They were. Midtjylland are out. Mass has never been my strong point. Midtjylland out, Liverpool through, and a complete winner-takes-all match, as we heard from Erik ten Hag. What an occasion that is going to be.
And Ajax, I think, will feel that they're the more consistent of the two sides. They were in a strong position against Atalanta in the first game and didn't quite see it through. I talked about Liverpool surviving games. I feel like that's the case with Atalanta at the moment as well, because you look at their form in Serie A, it has fallen away. They've really struggled to get wins in that competition, just one of the last six. So at the moment, Ajax are in the better shape.
They certainly are. Who knows who is going to go through? Okay, to Group A now. Atletico met Bayern at the Metropolitano, and they were dreaming themselves, Atletico this is, of joining the defending champions in the first knockout round.
And they've scored! João Felix out of nothing, this vastly talented player, and he has just given Atletico Madrid a glorious chance of getting out of this group tonight. Gnabry in towards Thomas Müller. Is that a penalty? It is a penalty. And it'll be a penalty taken by Thomas Müller. And Müller takes it and he scores. He's so assured. Atletico Madrid had thought they were getting out of this group tonight, but now they have more work to do. Müller with the equaliser.
They certainly do. Jackie Oatley, your commentator there, joins us now. Disappointment for Diego Simeone's side, and again, are we seeing just why Bayern are champions of Europe? They left so many big stars at home, yet still they don't lose.
That's right. They were so under strength tonight. 9 changes, Bayern, from the weekend. No Lewandowski, Tolisso, Goretzka, Neuer. Coman was left on the bench, which probably tells you everything you need to know, even though they were trailing for much of the game. But Atletico Madrid will see it as a real missed opportunity. They were the better side for most of the match, and they won't get a better chance to beat Bayern, bearing in mind how many players they didn't have. But João Felix was the man for me. He was absolutely outstanding. He combined time and time again with Yannick Carrasco on the left. And then that goal darting in to meet the ball across from Llorente, who played a 1-2 with Trippier from a throw-in. And he smashed the ball against the crossbar. Should have been 2-0. But that man, Thomas Müller, vastly experienced. 47th Champions League goal from the spot after he'd earned that penalty. And I mean earned it. The way that he turned inside defender Felipe, very, very clever of him. And it's 1-1, and Bayern's 15-game winning run has come to the end in the Champions League, but they won't mind on the balance of play. They'll take that point.
This is what Thomas Müller is all about. He is the ultimate competitor. And even if you have a rotated side, if you've got somebody like Müller in your team at the back end of the game, where there's still a point to be dug out, he will be able to do that for you. And if you've got guys like Serge Gnabry in the squad as well, who can make an impact, that's what can make the difference. I think Atletico will see this psychologically as a big setback. They've been going ever so well in La Liga, so consistent. They've been, you know, putting some distance between themselves and Barcelona, themselves and Real Madrid. They got that win against Barcelona recently. And so having played pretty well in this game, I think they'll be disappointed they haven't seen it through.
Yeah, they certainly will. They were given the opportunity to go through thanks to Salzburg's victory at Lokomotiv Moskva in one of the early games. A very impressive victory. Mergen Berisha was absolutely outstanding for the Austrian champions. Group A then looks like this. Bayern 13 points through as section winners. Then come Atletico on 6 points. Then Salzburg on 4 points and Lokomotiv on 3 points. Next week, it is Salzburg against Atletico in Austria. Another match where two teams are just going head-to-head for a place in the last 16 on match day six. OK, that is Group A. Group C finished Marseille 2, Olympiacos 1. Now, this was a big result for Marseille. Dimitri Payet with two second-half penalties because it ended a long, long run for them of losing games. A record, a competition record. So congratulations to André Villas-Boas. And it also meant that Porto's point, Kevin Hatchard at home to Manchester City, was enough for the Portuguese side to go through alongside the English club, who were already into the last 16 before their match at the Dragao.
Manchester City's questions will be answered at the latter stages. We know that. That happens every season. That's where their biggest tests lie. But for Porto, very impressive the way they bounced back from that opening weak defeat to Manchester City, because they actually took the lead in that game. They played very well. They had a big chance at 1-1. So that will have felt like a bit of a stinging setback for them because they didn't get anything out of that game. But they've been very professional, very solid, very consistent, and they've got the job done. So Sergio Conceição deserves massive credit for that. For Marseille, they can just take this forward into Liga. It's a really important step for them, I think, psychologically. They might qualify for the Europa League. They might not. But I think in terms of ending that losing run, I think that was very important.
Back to Manchester City, probably one of the major plus points was that captain Fernandinho was back. He played the full 90 minutes, and as far as he was concerned, it was job very well done by his club.
They fought all the, you know, the whole game to get the point and to go through as well. I think it's important for us because we show, you know, we control the game, we create some chances to score the goals. Unfortunately, we didn't score, but I think it was a good step, you know, especially for next game on next week, and for sure to secure the first position in the group.
So Manchester City 13 points through, Porto 10 points through, and then Olympiacos and Marseille both have 3 points and will battle it out for a place in the last 32 of the Europa League next week. Olympiacos ahead just about on the head-to-head records. OK, that wraps up all of Tuesday's matches. Man of the match time, Stephen Wyth, you're first up, having watched Liverpool just squeeze past Ajax.
It's the goalkeeper making his Champions League debut tonight. Kevin Kelleher had a brilliant game and contributed massively to Liverpool winning it 1-0.
He was fantastic. Jackie Oatley at the Metropolitano.
No surprise, it's Joao Felix with a goal. He hit the bar too, created a couple of other chances. Flicks and tricks, but no show pony. He was doing it with purpose and with an outcome, and he was fantastic.
As I mentioned, one of the 50 nominees for a place in the UEFA Fans Team of the Year for 2020. See the shortlist, pick your 11, both men's and women's nominees in 2020. And you can be in with a chance of winning some great prizes. Head to UEFA.com and the official Champions League app. Kevin Hatchard, there were 6 other matches and you have to pick one player from all of those games.
Another terrific performance from Romelu Lukaku.
Outstanding. He cannot stop scoring. OK, so Inter still have a chance of going through. Congratulations to Porto and Liverpool, who made it through, joining the 6 clubs who had already qualified ahead of match day 5. But the last 16 is really starting to take shape now. Half of the berths have already been secured. We're back on Wednesday. Full match commentary of Istanbul against Leipzig and Manchester United against Paris Saint-Germain in Group H. The goals as they go in from everywhere else. And remember to download the podcast after every Champions League night. What a Tuesday. What a start to match day 5. For now, from me, Chris Parrott, and the whole of the Match Day Live team, it is goodbye.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.